How y'all doing? We're organizing. It's what we're doing as we go here. All right. Well, good morning, everyone. This is the first part of the month and the first week of the month of July. And as we always do, we recognize our birthdays and we recognize our anniversaries. Our birthdays are as follows: Sue Barbie, June the 6th. Kenny Linker, July the 10th. Vivian Austin, July the 19th. Evan Howard, July the 20th. Aiden Hartzell, July the 20th. And Neil Jackman, July 31st. Lori Keplinger, July the 31st. Have I forgotten or left out anyone? Anywhere? Did I do something wrong? I got it right, didn't I? What is it? It's Aiden? What did I say?
It's Aiden.
Excuse me, Andon. I'll never do that again. As many times as I call your name.
But if you do, you may get reminded.
That's the truth. You just remember this, Andon. If it was easy, anybody could do it. And you remember that. Anyway, happy birthday. I may have to sing you a song special for that. But I won't today. Anyway. All right. Are there any others that I may have messed up or forgotten? All right. And our anniversaries are Leonard and Donna Harville, July the 2nd, and 59 years is what it was. And you can go ahead and applaud that. That's the 59 years. I feel old as baseball. But that's all right. No, I really don't. I don't feel old at all. God's blessed us. Many, many blessings. And be appreciated. Be appreciated. Are there anyone that I may have forgotten? All right, Miss Kathy, give me a key, please.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Andon. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. All right, let's all stand to the doxology, please.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son,
so glad you're at the Lord's house this morning. Got a good group here this morning. We welcome every one of you. Anybody that's listening in the parking lot, anybody that's later on the website, we invite you to come and just worship with us and spend some time with the Lord as we worship together. Thinking about the past, it occurs to me first Sunday in July 2017 was my first Sunday to preach here. And you took a week to vote me as interim, and here I am. I hope there's not too many of you out there saying, could we recount? But you know, in 7 years, A lot has happened. A lot of precious people have gone to home to be with the Lord. We had church out here under the big oak tree for a summer. COVID came. We had some services where it was just me and Leonard and Kathy and Tonda and Wes, and put it on the internet for you to listen to. But God's been good to us, and I just praise the Lord for that. Maybe pray together. Lord, it's so good to be in your presence, to know that you love us and you care for us. Father, I just thank you for Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. And Father, I thank you for the love that binds us together as children of God. Father, I think that, you know, 7 years ago, I hardly knew anybody that's a part of this church. And now they're all precious friends, and I thank you, Father, for that. Father, for those that are listening on the website, those that are listening maybe in the parking lot, may your Spirit touch, draw them to yourself, bring glory to Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Now let me say one other thing while Leonard's getting in his place. I hope that 2 weeks from today, my daughter Sarah and son-in-law Brian, missionaries to Australia, will be here and maybe share a few minutes with what their work's doing in Australia. So just heads up, you know how it is with plane flights and all of that. Hopefully they'll get here fine and they'll be able to be here in 2 weeks. Okay, Leonard.
All right, as we do every Sunday morning, it's time to hymn sing. It's time for our hymn sing. And to God be the glory we're going to do today. So if we all please stand and help us sing, we're going to do all the verses, to God be the glory. That's my heart's desire, to make sure he gets all the praise as we sing.
To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life at atonement for sin and opened the life gate that all may grow in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth.
Someone. All right, as we normally do, I've got some announcements I want to share with you. Today we would normally had church council at 11. That's going to be postponed until next Sunday. So you council members remember this next Sunday. Deacons also remember, I ask you to remember next Wednesday night, this coming Wednesday night, we'll have our deacons meeting next Wednesday night. Okay, so be in your places for that. Okay, choir practice will be at 6:30 next Sunday as well. Okay. And also, now as we go forward, we're looking at Vacation Bible School. Vacation Bible School that's coming up. You see the schedule there? Tonda, you have anything you want to add at this point?
The schedule is still, we're on task. Yes, we're all on task for the schedule, and I think our teacher selections, we're all down pat. It looks like we have a lot of volunteers. We're going to have a really great day together. So we're looking forward to it. Yes, just come and join us.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Tonda, for you and Gary, for your work. You've already prepared for it, and we thank you for that. While we're thanking people, I want to thank Miss Kathy. She's sitting over there. She's soloing today, and she's got the plane all yours. It's all yours. We're going to be right behind you, and we thank you, Kathy. No, you're doing well. We thank you very much for that, and we pray for Miss Brenda as she's traveling. We pray for her. Okay. Are there any other announcements that I may need to share at this point? Okay. Then as we go to our prayer request this morning, I've had a few already given to me this morning. And the family of Wayne Page, you need to remember that family this morning. Wayne has passed away. And so let's remember the Wayne Page family. Jeff Kay, let's keep remembering him. He's got some more things to go through, and you've got one foot doing well and another one still got some work, right, Jeff?
Yep.
So you're able to walk better. I noticed that. Still not ready to do the 100-yard dash, but we'll get that done.
I can do it, but I'll look awful funny doing it.
Lord will keep blessing you. I believe that. Kathy, I believe you have some surgery coming up, right, Kathy?
Thursday.
Oh, it says carpal tunnel. Is it? Achilles tendon. I knew I had it in the wrong place. It's one of those days, and I just did it wrong again over here. I got the wrong surgery. I hope the doctors get it right. I mean, okay. All right. Let's remember Kathy Thursday. Okay. Rosina. Is Rosina still missing and still? Still recuperating. So you want to share something, an update there, Ms. Ruth? Okay. All right. Are there any others that we need to add to the prayer list this morning?
Mr. Leonard.
Yes.
I'm sure a lot of you are aware of Jennifer Honeycutt, the principal at the West Allen Middle School.
Mm-hmm. This is the Honeycutt. What was it?
Jennifer.
Jennifer, right?
The little girl's name is Landon.
Okay, Landon. Okay. Are there others?
Leonard, I have one to add. It's a boy named Garrett. Emily, do you know his?
It's Griffin.
Griffin. Do you know his last name? Griffin Morneau. Morneau. And he's about 13-ish, I guess, and he's had several strokes. It's just
okay.
Kind of touch and go right now, but just
so young. Okay. Anyone else? Yes.
The family of Newell Truel.
Newell Truel.
This morning, he passed away this morning.
Oh my goodness.
Surgery to stretch his esophagus, but just remember
in your
prayers.
Okay. in totality, okay? Are there others? All right, then let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for another opportunity you've given us, Lord, to be in your house, to be here and to worship your name in spirit and in truth. And oh, how, Lord, how I do appreciate the truth and what an awesome God you are. Not one that, Lord, we can always go to. We can always come to you and ask you for things that we need and others need. But, Lord, as always, before I ask you for a single thing, I say thank you. Thank you for everybody that's here. Thank you for the spirit that I've already felt this morning. And, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for those who've had the health to be here with us today. But then, Lord, there are those who are not healthy enough to be with us. And, Lord, continuing to have problems, some that have lost loved ones. Lord, I'd like to mention those to you as being specific needs today. We pray, Lord, for the Wayne Page family, Lord, who've lost a loved one this morning. We pray for Jeff Kay as he continues to order convalescing and getting better, Lord, but we ask continued blessing upon him. We pray for Kathy as she goes into surgery next Thursday, Lord. We pray for her and we ask for complete healing for her body. We pray for Rosina this morning as she's been battling for a long time now with COVID. And Lord, but I know she's getting better, but Lord, she's still weak. She still needs a touch from you. And we ask, Lord, that you would restore her health. We pray, Lord, for the little Landon Honeycutt, the daughter. We pray for Miss Landon, Lord, as she is away from home, a long ways from home, and experiencing problems this morning. But Lord, we know that you can touch her there. And we pray, Lord, for that. We pray, Lord, for the Griffin Monu, the strokes that he has had and suffered. Lord, we pray for him this morning and lift him up. And then the Newell Travel family, we pray for that family as well. And then, Lord, for Mr. Wendell Talley, we lift him up to you this morning as he is continuing to have experiences and some issues in his life and his spirit, I mean his physical being. But we pray, Lord, for good health for him and you restore his health to his body. We pray for our services today as we continue on today. We pray for Pastor Ed who come before us. We ask a special blessing upon the choir, Lord, as we sing this morning. It's so good to see them assembled again. So good to be able to see it and be in front of them again. We ask your blessings as we continue on in all of the blessings that we have asked. And all, I know, Lord, that you'll receive, we'll receive them. And we thank and pray in your name, your precious name, we pray. Amen. Okay, this is a good-looking group, wouldn't you say? I would definitely say so. Now, I'll get organized here in a minute. Don't you worry. Pages 120. We're going to do something special this morning. There's a song here in the choir that we sang many, many years ago, and it turned out to be a favorite of one of our longtime members, and he's no longer with us, but his memory is. The name of the song is I'm Standing on the Solid Rock. And we remember Don. And remember him, what a great friend he was. I think his birthday's next, the 8th. And so we do this in memorial, in loving memory of Don Whitley as we sing I'm Standing on the Solid Rock. Children, you are dismissed. You travel in music, please.
Thank you, choir. And I pray that every person's listening to me, both here and later on the website or out in the parking lot, has built your life upon Jesus Christ, the Rock of Ages. We can build our life on money. We can build our life on fame, fortune, prestige, a lot of other things. But the only thing that will last for all of eternity is Jesus. You know, people can go from rich to poor in a heartbeat. But if you've got Jesus, everything is okay. You know, there's at least three ways you can find out about an event that's happened. For example, somebody could come to you and say, did you hear about the big wreck that was at the square in Albemarle? Said, some car was speeding down toward the square and ran a red light and T-boned another car. So you heard it by somebody telling you about it. Be a little different if you were standing on the corner about to cross the street and you looked up and saw this car come ripping down the road and you watched this accident happen in front of your very eyes. So you saw it happen. That's the second way. But if you're in the car that got T-boned, you experience it in a whole different way. So there are three ways that at least, you know, you can hear about something, you can see something, you can experience it for yourself. All of those are, you know, legitimate ways to learn about something. When you look at the men who wrote the New Testament under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they had experienced something. They had seen something, and they'd heard about some other things. And their whole purpose in writing the various books of the New Testament was to let us in on what had happened and how important that was. They wanted us to experience the same intimacy with God through the Lord Jesus Christ that they had experienced. Everything pointed to Jesus, the Messiah, and they wanted us to know him like they knew him. Turn with me first to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 says this: God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. The writer of Hebrews says God talked to us through the Old Testament prophets. But you know, those men had just bits and pieces. You've got to put it all together. One told about Jesus being born where? In Bethlehem. One told about Jesus being born of a virgin. One told about Jesus being from the tribe of Judah. One told about Jesus having his side pierced, as we know it was pierced with the sword. One told about him being crucified. One told about him being rejected. So all of the men together, a little picture here and a little, it's like putting a crossword puzzle together. Each one of them had their own little glimpse of what the Messiah was going to be like, and they told it faithfully as the Lord gave them reason to write. But what does he say here in verse? He says, God in the past, he spoke through the prophets, but in verse 2 he says, hath in the same God who spoke in the past, hath in these last days spoken unto us, how? By his Son. He said, now we've got a clearer word because it came from Jesus, the Son of God. Now we've got a clearer word. We've got an eyewitness account. And whoever, most people think this was Paul writing Hebrews. But he's saying, listen, God has now spoken to us, not in bits and pieces, but by his Son. And what did he do? He has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. He said Jesus was a part of creation. Sometimes I don't think we get it when we go back to Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, when it says, let us make man in our image. God didn't say, let me make man in my image. He said, let us make man in our image. No, as the Trinity goes all the way back, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit just didn't come up in the New Testament. All the way back to Genesis 1:1, let us. And he says, Jesus made it, and Jesus is the heir of it. And then in verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholdeth all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. He said he revealed himself, he spoke to us, he's the image of the heavenly Father. You remember Jesus on one occasion said, Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because Philip had said, Lord, if you'll just show us the Father, we'll be happy. Jesus said, no, wait a minute. If you've seen me, you have seen the heavenly Father. He said, you know, Jesus is the express image of the Father. He said he's the brightness of his glory. He holds the world together by his power. I'm not sure we really realize that if the Lord just took his hands off of the world, it would dissolve into nothingness. And you know, there's some things I don't understand. Maybe somebody's a scientist here and they can explain something to me. You know, back umpteen years ago, a long time ago, in physics, they talked about everything's made up of atoms. And the way they describe it, it's almost like there's this little box, and they got these protons and neurons and stuff floating around in there, and almost it's like I picture a bird cage, you know, with these little, you know, of course, very, very small. How can those things with those little holes in there make a solid rock? Explain that to me. Somebody explain that to me. How can those things that aren't solid make a solid rock? And there's so many things, scientists, you know, it's amazing over the years to just read the news and see what they say. And on my news has been coming up ever so often. Every 26 seconds, the earth pulsates like a heartbeat, but nobody knows why. Some great new mess going on in the tides in the Pacific. Nobody knows why. All kind of things going on that mankind doesn't understand. But Jesus is holding it all together. Jesus is in control of it all. And then he says, what's the best part? He purged our sins. He took away our sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. He took away our sin. Now we have to accept that. We have to believe that. But he took away our sin. And then he says, Jesus is set down on the right hand of the majesty on high. He's at the Father's right hand. Now that's a place of power. That's a place of authority. The Bible says he's at the Father's right hand doing what? Interceding for you. You know, you think you're lonely. You think things aren't going right. You feel abandoned. And you don't even begin to realize right now, this very moment, Jesus is the Father's right hand. He's calling you by name. He's praying for you. It's interesting. I believe y'all sang this Sunday night. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. And I'd heard another gospel singer sing it the night before. Jesus has you on his mind and on his heart. You're not alone. You're not abandoned. You're not unthought of. He said he's at the Father's right hand. It's power, it's authority, he's making intercession. And he's at the Father's right hand for us to worship. To worship him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The writer of Hebrews is saying, listen, you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ that's special, it's intimate, it's personal, because of who he is. Now flip over a few pages to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And John, an entirely different New Testament writer, makes the same exact point that's made in Hebrews chapter 1. John 1, 1 John, the, you know, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John near Revelation. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled of the word of life. What does John say? Jesus was from the beginning. In his gospel, John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, was with God, and the Word was God. And by him was all things made. Here he says, Jesus was from the beginning. We've heard him speak. We've seen him with our eyes. We've looked upon him, and we've looked upon his miracles. And our hands have touched him. Now, one of the things that you may remember from your Sunday school lessons is that John was dealing with one of the heresies of that day, Gnosticism, which said Jesus wasn't a real flesh and blood person. That if the road was muddy out there and you followed along behind Jesus, there wouldn't be any footprints. Or you were on a sandy beach. You know, he was like a Casper the Friendly Ghost type. John says, listen, we've touched him. We have touched him. We know Jesus was real. He was God. He was man. Jesus was real. He said, we've heard him. We've seen him. We've saw what he has done. And we've handled him. We know that Jesus was real. You see, John is wanting us to know the same thing that Paul is wanting us to know in Hebrews. Jesus is really the Son of God. He's the Savior. He's the Lord. And we can have an intimate relationship with him. Verse 2, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was from the Father and was manifested unto us. You know, they recognize there's something different about Jesus. There was a life in Jesus that was in no other human being they had ever seen. And he said, God manifested his life in Jesus. Now, that's the same life that God puts in you and me when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. You know, Paul writes in one of his letters, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We're flesh and blood. But when we're saved, when Jesus comes to live within us, a treasure comes in. The very presence of God comes to live within us. And that gives us the possibility of an intimate fellowship with the Lord. And then he goes on to say in verse 3, that which we've seen and heard, we declare to you. You see, John is wanting us to understand, I want you guys to get it. I want you to have the same experience with Jesus that we had. I want you to know Jesus like we know Jesus. That you also may have fellowship with us. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. A moment ago when I started the service, I prayed about the friendships that have developed here in 7 years. John, I don't know why I want to keep calling him Paul. John talks about fellowship. Fellowship with the Father, fellowship with each other. Can you picture a triangle? And up here at the top of the triangle is God. And I can have fellowship with God. You can have fellowship with God. And because we both have fellowship with God, that line at the bottom, we have fellowship with one another. And it's a beautiful thing, the fellowship that we have with one another. And it transcends time. It transcends distance. The last 2 weeks, I've been texting with a lady. She's not quite as old as me, but almost. Her husband and I, from fifth grade on, graduated together. He's in pretty foul shape, and suddenly, you know, she texted me wanting some guidance about some things, and it's just amazing what we've texted back and forth. I saw her about 10 years ago at a high school class reunion. Hadn't seen her in years before that. Oh, I did see her one other time, right about time COVID hit. She and her husband were from Atlanta up here to Albemarle, and I went over to to a place where they were staying and spent an hour with them. But other than that, I haven't seen, I might not even know her. She walked in the door, but the fellowship is there because of her love for Jesus, my love for Jesus, and our fellowship with each other. And if her husband were well enough to text, that fellowship would be with him. John here says there's something special about a relationship that we can have with each other and with the Father, an intimate relationship because of who God is and our opportunity to be like him. And I love verse 4, and these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. You know, when you're at peace with God, you've got joy. When you've got fellowship with loving brothers and sisters, you have joy. How's the chorus go? Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. John says, the whole point is, I want you to know Jesus like I know Jesus, so that you'll be full of joy. You know, at this point, some of you be saying, well, now, preacher, there's one problem with what you're saying. John saw Jesus in the flesh, and I never have. And I doubt I ever will. You're right. Over the period of history, I've read several accounts of someone who said that Jesus appeared to them in the flesh. In fact, it's very interesting. On my phone, I have a number of the sermons I preached in 17, 18, and 19. And I just randomly one day this week clicked on one, and it was Pam doing Baptist Women's Day. And she talked in that about a lady that she had to deal with, and the lady was almost at the point of death. And she says, the Lord appeared at the foot of her bed. And Pam went on to explain some things. There's some experiences like that, but 98% of us won't ever have an experience like that. But you can still know Jesus in an intimate way. Turn with me one more passage of Scripture, John 20. John 20. If nothing else, this passage ought to tell you not to skip church. John 20, after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, the disciples are together and Jesus shows up, but Thomas isn't there. And they're so excited when Thomas does come in. Jesus has been here. Jesus has been here. This is near the end of chapter 20 of verse of Gospel of John. And Thomas says, I don't believe you guys. It was all an optical illusion or delusion or something. The only way I'll ever believe that Jesus is alive is if I can put my hands in the nail prints and in the side where the sword pierced him. Well, about a week later, Thomas decides to show up. And Jesus comes again. And he says, come over here, Thomas. By then, Thomas probably said, stuttering and stammering. Come over here, Thomas. Put your fingers in. Put your hand in my side. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. You know, Thomas was convinced. But notice what Jesus says in verse 29. And that verse is for you and me. Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. He says, Thomas, Everybody's not going to get to see me in the flesh. But those who want to know me, they may not see me in the flesh. They can see me in the spirit. They can know me intimately. They can know me in a personal way. And there's a special blessing to just by faith believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, do we always walk in the dark? No. I pray that there are times in your life that you sense the presence of Jesus. I pray that there's times in your life when you hear that still small voice saying, do this or don't do that or go there or do this ministry. I pray that there are times in your life when you just know, this is what Jesus wants me to do today. Jesus can become as real to you if you want to seek him. The Bible says when we seek him with our whole heart, we'll find him. If we want to seek the Lord, Jesus can be as real to us as if we stood at the foot of the cross and watched him crucified. If we leaned over and peeped in the door of the empty tomb. If we stood there and watched him ascend into heaven. If we stood there and heard the angels and saw the angels that said, the same Jesus you just saw go, he's coming back in the same way. You can have that same intimate fellowship with Jesus that John and Paul and everybody else had. Now, the sad thing is a lot of folks are just happy to be on the periphery. If I can just get into heaven when they slam the door behind me, I don't care if he hits me just a little bit. That's fine. No. The joy comes when Jesus and you are in an intimate fellowship, an intimate relationship, and he's real to you. The New Testament writers wanted us to know Jesus is not a figment of somebody's imagination. He's not a made-up story. He's not just a historical figure. He is the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Christ, the Messiah. And he wants a relationship with you and with me. And I know that most of you here have that relationship, but there may be somebody that doesn't. And I pray that whether you're here or whether you're in the parking lot or whether you're on the website, if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I pray that you'll believe in him, you'll accept him as your Lord and Savior at this very moment. And I pray for myself and for each one of us, that we might grow more intimate, more close with Jesus. There's nothing like being really, really good friends with Jesus. You think about those disciples, 12 of them. One of them, Judas, really didn't care about Jesus. There was another group that was a part of the group and heard and saw. But you remember there was an inner circle, Peter, James, and John. And then beyond that, there was the disciple that Jesus loved, John. Special relationship with Jesus. And you can have that as well. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I pray that you'll do that at this very minute. And I'm going to come down front, and if you need to walk the aisle and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, would you do that? If there's someone that needs to come and become a part of our fellowship through transferring of your membership, we invite you to come. If there's someone that needs to come, just to come to the altar and say, Lord, I've been on the periphery, but now I want to be a part of the inner circle that knows you in a powerful, powerful way. You just come to the altar and get on your knees. Or if you're a little older like me, if you just want to sit on the front pew and talk to the Lord, open your heart and say, Lord Jesus, I want to know you as much as anybody in my human body can know you. Would you come? If you're listening later on the website and you've never received Jesus Christ and you do that, would you call me or call a godly pastor in your area? Tell him what has happened. Get involved with a good church. May the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.